Today on The Journey.
Until we acknowledge our fear, until we face that fear, until we give God our fear, we're going to live on the lower ground. We're going to live a mediocre Christian life.
God wants a gift from you, wrapped up, tied in a bow, and laid at His feet. He wants your fears, those in the open and those hidden deep in your heart. So today, Ron Moore encourages you to re-gift something you never really wanted in the first place. Before that, a quick word about our premium offer for this series titled A Biblically Managed Life. It's a 7-step quest for a fulfilling life guided by God's Word, and it's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Listen for the details later in the program. Now here's Ron with the message, What Are You Afraid Of? On The Journey.
Last spring, our staff had a retreat at Ligonier. And several of us went out early to do some adventure things, zip line. And the people there showed us what we needed to do. And to get up to the zip line, there's a platform and there's a pole that you have to climb. It's about 1,000 feet, I think, something like that. So you climb the pole and you get up on a platform. And this pole has little metal U things for handholds and footholds. And so they told us, you get hooked up and you climb the pole, and then from the platform is where you jump off. So we said, let's do it, man, let's go. And we thought Scott would be the first one to go. But you know what he said? I'm not climbing the pole. You got to be joking. I'm not climbing the pole. I would freeze halfway up. We tried reasoning with him. We said, look, man, you are harnessed into this thing. No way you can fall. You're clipped on. Pulley there. Rope on the end. And that girl there, she's going to hold you up. And he said, look at that girl. She weighs 100 pounds. If I'd fall, she'd go up. I'd come down. But we said, she is tied to a tree. She can't move. So reasoning didn't work. So we tried encouragement. Now, many of you know that at our staff, we have strong gifts of encouragement and mercy. Unfortunately, none of those people were with us on the trip. So we did our best at encouragement mixed with a little sarcasm, or a lot of sarcasm mixed with a little encouragement. We did our best. We encouraged him to get up. We tried shame encouragement, and that didn't work. We tried guilt encouragement. That didn't work. We waited till the end for our silver bullet. We quoted scenes from Braveheart. Yes, climb that pole and you may die, but stay on the ground and you will live at least a while, and dying in your bed many years from now. Would you be willing to trade all those days from that day to this for one chance, just one chance, to come back as a young man and climb that pole? Freedom! Thank you. Someone in the earlier service said you should have used a Scottish voice. That was my Scottish voice. Nothing worked. In a weird way, we started gaining respect for Scott, that he was withstanding our barrage. So we began to call this pole that he wouldn't climb Scott's pole of fear. And we reminded him often that weekend. The next morning, Scott and I got up early, and we were running around the town of Ligonier, and we were laughing about, or at least I was laughing about, the pole of fear. And we were in the circle. You guys know, if you've been in Ligonier, there's a circle in the middle of the town. And right around that circle, as we were running and talking, it hit us. Every person has something that holds them back and holds them down from that next level of the Christian life, don't they? See, every person has his or her own personal pole of fear. Let me ask you a question. What is your pole of fear? What is holding you back from the life that God has for you? If we were vulnerable enough, We could share our stories about our own personal poles of fear. Some stories would involve fear that causes us to freeze. We've just been paralyzed by our fear. God wants us to do a certain thing. We know God wants us to do it, but we're afraid. Some would tell stories of fear that caused them to lash out. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? Like an animal backed in a corner. We lash out in actions that hurt or words that pierce like a sword. Some would have stories where your pull of fear caused you to run to unhealthy places, run to places of sin, run to places where you think you'll find some comfort, at least for a while. And let's face it, everyone has his or her own personal pull of fear. You're thinking of yours right now, aren't you? Here's the deal. Until we acknowledge our fear, until we face that fear, until we give God our fear, we're going to live on the lower ground. We're going to live a mediocre Christian life. And one day we're going to stand before God, the God who loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Jesus, who put aside all fear and dread and went to the cross for us. We're going to stand before our Lord and we're going to be in heaven because we've trusted in Christ, but we're going to present to him a mediocre, low shelf life because we were afraid. What's your pull of fear? We're going to address this mindset. For some, this disabling way of life. I invite you to engage in the study. We're going to face our fears together. We're going to see that our areas of fear are not like a zip line type fear, but our areas of fear hold us back. And so we want to make sure that we are not being paralyzed or we're not running to unhealthy places. We want to make sure that we're trusting and our confidence locked onto God. So what I want to do today, I want to give us an overview. I want us to get in our mind where we're headed together so we can start thinking about these areas that we really need to address in our life. And the very first area we need to address when we talk about fear is the healthy fear that God tells us about in Scripture. And what's that? Fearing Him. The fear of God. We're going to spend two times talking about the fear of God. See, in dealing with our personal poles of fear, fearing God is where we have to start. We have to start there. We're going to find that the fear of God is not some cowering terror or horror of God. It's simply honoring Him and respecting Him. And that honor and respect is not lip service. It is always demonstrated by what? Obedience. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we really say, okay, we either love God or we don't. We can talk about it all day long. But if we fear God, if we honor Him and respect Him, it will be demonstrated by obedience. Now, fearing God, of course, begins with a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And when we have that relationship with Him, it is amazing. We'll see that the sovereign God, the creator of the universe, He's the one who waits for us with open arms when we run to Him through our fear-induced paralysis. When we run to Him and embrace His forgiveness when we have been running scared all of our life. We're going to see that He's a God. As Paul says in chapter 8, verse 15 in Romans, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to what? Fear. But you receive the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." The Aramaic daddy, the intimate word of a parent. We're going to see this amazing, beautiful truth of Scripture that here is the fear of God. He is the eternal, sovereign God, and He desires us to come to Him and feel His embrace. Now, I know for some of you, those three words, fear of God, brings up this emotion inside of kind of staying away from him. But we're going to see the opposite of that is true. It's the fear of God that invites us to draw near. Let me give you a few passages we'll consider. Psalm 25, 14, the Lord confides in those who fear him. Psalm 147, the Lord delights in those who fear him. Psalm 145, 19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Psalm 33, the eyes of the Lord are on who? Those who fear him. Psalm 103, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And parents, think about it. If we have this fear going on in our life, and there are things that we are paralyzed or we run scared, who do we pass it on to? We pass it on to our children. And until we deal with it and get it right in our lives and begin to trust God in our lives and begin to have confidence in him in our lives, you can't impart what you don't possess. Luke says this, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. You see, fearing God is practical Christian obedience. Well, that's what we're going to see over the next couple times. Now, ironically, until we embrace the fear of God, the healthy fear, then we cannot deal with the unhealthy fears in our life. So that's where we have to start. And by the way, our poles of fear are many. Life is really lived on three levels. There are events, there are issues, and then there are hidden issues. Let's think about that. So the event could be the economy, up and down, right? Depending on what day. The issue is your job, because if the economy goes south, your job may go away. What's the hidden issue? What really keeps you up at night thinking about that? Can I provide for my family? Or does my security that I built up go away? Let's do one more. Event would be, how many of you have teenagers? That's an event, isn't it? Yeah. So your teenager's not home. You expected them to be home. The issue is they're late. And that begins to cause you some consternation, doesn't it? And the hidden issue, are they okay? Did something happen? Why are they late? And stuff just starts swirling in our heart and mind. Events, issues, and hidden issues. So, during our time in this series, we want to look at some hidden issues. There are a lot of events. We'll talk through those. But let's look at some hidden issues. Here's the first one. The fear of inadequacy. This fear says, I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. I'm afraid I might disappoint others. I really don't have the gifts to do what God's calling me to do. So I think I'll just set this life out. People won't think I'm good enough. What will people think of me? I read this Taylor Swift quote. She said, I'm intimidated by the fear of being average. How many of you men would say that? I don't want to live my life inadequate. And Satan will come to us and he will tell us, man, you are inadequate. Look at your past. Are you kidding me? You think God could use you after all you've done? You think God could use you after where you've been? You think God could use you with all the screw-ups in your life? Come on. You are inadequate. Just accept it. Fear of inadequacy is something we have to deal with because we learn that in Christ we are more than adequate. Here's one, the fear of surrender. Sin provides my greatest affection apart from God. Think about that. If I put God out of the picture, where do I go for comfort? Sin. My addiction. What I want to be involved in. That thing that brings me comfort. And here's what I'm afraid of. If I surrender to God, if I truly surrender to Him, I have to leave behind that thing I know brings me comfort. What if God can't satisfy? What if God truly can't replace that false, unhealthy comfort? And so many people fear surrender. I don't want to surrender to God. I don't know if He can really bring that satisfaction I need. Paul writes this in that familiar passage in Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul says, surrender. Don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you surrender to God, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and what? Perfect will. So some people struggle all their lives. I don't know what God's will is. I'm looking for God's will. I want God's will, but they're not willing to surrender those things that are bringing them false comfort apart from God. The fear of insignificance is another one. The person plagued by this fear is someone who will go from relationship to relationship to relationship because relationship makes them feel significant. For other people, it'll be fad to fad to fad. Other people, job to job to job, feeling worthiness. But we know we can only find significance in one place, don't we? Jesus Christ. I got to read this to you. I've been doing these daily devotionals, and I've encouraged people to write in to send me their verses of comfort and confidence. And so I got this great one from Mike Matthews, and he wrote in this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, and it's the passage where Paul has the thorn in the flesh. Paul says, God didn't take away the thorn, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now listen to what Mike says. He said, I often lean on 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, how Paul responds to his thorn taught me to deal with my thorn of cerebral palsy. Growing up, I had little experience with church, and what I did was bad. I was told my cerebral palsy was a result of sin, demons, and lack of faith. That made me feel rejected by God. For many years, I prayed for healing and didn't understand why this thorn wouldn't go away. But despite bad doctrine being taught me, Jesus saved me at 19. And in my study, I came across these words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul did not respond with, woe is me, when the Lord answered him this way. He rejoiced that Christ would get glory through his weakness. Jesus taught me that human weakness is a perfect platform to display his glory. Isn't that good? This is true with my cerebral palsy. Doctor said I wouldn't do much with my life. Religion taught me that God rejected me. But Jesus taught me that he not only accepts me, but he was going to use my cerebral palsy and make my life to make much for him. I am a husband, father, minister, and former youth pastor. Listen to this. The doctors were right. I haven't done much with my life. Jesus has. That is good, good stuff. Yeah. Fear of insignificance can be met in one person, Jesus Christ. Fear of uncertainty. Man, we face that, don't we? Boston bombings, there were some people in West Texas who got up in the morning and kissed their kids goodbye and said, see you tonight. And then they went to work at a fertilizer plant and it blew up and they never got back home. We have no guarantee of what's going on. We have no guarantee of what's going on in our world. And I see so many Christians fearful about what's going on around the world and what's going on with our government. We love our country and we want to participate in our country, but we can't depend on our country and our government for only the certainty that Jesus brings. It's only through Him that we'll have a life of confidence and certainty. Fear of failure is one. We'll talk about that. Fear of death is another. That's a big one. And then we want to talk about all the way through this, what would it be like if we lived without fear? What would it be like if we didn't have these fears? What height could we climb to if we weren't so scared? And how can we make sure that Jesus is the one who meets our fear? Jesus said this to his disciples, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. We know what kind of peace comes from the world, don't we? Jesus said, that's not the peace I give to you. So don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be, say it with me, do not be afraid. That's what Jesus brings, and that's what we'll see. Fear is not something you're going to overcome by reading some self-help book. And fear is not something you're going to overcome by, you know, I had a fear of heights, so I'm going to go jump out of an airplane, and I'm going to meet my fear of heights. Right when you conquer one fear on your own, you find another crippling fear that pops up. Only Jesus can bring peace to the fearful and troubled heart. He's the one who took our sin and our fears and our insignificance and our insecurity and our uncertainty. And he died for all that on the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we could live with the trust and confidence, knowing that God always has our best interest at heart, that he loves us with an unconditional love, that he wants us to do great things for him. He does not want us to be paralyzed. He doesn't want us to run scared. He wants us to live, as Mike did, with the confidence that whatever we're going through is a platform to bring glory to him. Remember, Jesus paid the penalty for you so you could have confidence and trust and certainty in him. Think about your pole of fear. What's holding you back from an all-out, full-orb, following hard after Jesus?
And please stay with us. Ron returns with a special announcement just ahead. What does a biblically managed life look like, and how can you experience it? Ron Moore takes you on that spiritual journey in his booklet titled, A Biblically Managed Life. In its pages, you'll discover an eternal perspective that informs 7 days of life-altering challenges from Scripture. Things like how you can invest God's gifts of time and resources, living with a spiritual mind, and the influence you can have in this world. A Biblically Managed Life is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to tell us about an exciting event.
I'm here with the Associate Pastor of the Bible Chapel, Dave DiDonato, and we want to let you know about an exciting series that we're going to be teaching together this summer. It's called Relevant Faith, and it will run for 6 weeks, beginning August 10th and 11th at the Bible Chapel. During the 6-part series, we're going to address some of the most important issues facing our culture today. Things like, is there such a thing as absolute truth? The person of Jesus Christ, and the significance of the church. Dave, what's the motivation behind this series, and why is it so important?
Well, Generation Z includes those in the age bracket roughly around 8 to 24 years old, and they are growing up today in what many consider the first post-Christian generation of our country. That means that more than 50% of this generation is unchurch. They are living in a world that is trying to completely redefine what truth is, and we believe it's the church's responsibility to prepare this next generation for the culture they are living in today.
If you live in the Pittsburgh area, we invite you to join us for our Relevant Faith series at one of our campuses in the South Hills or in Robinson, in Ross Traver, in Washington, in Wilkinsburg. Visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. That's BibleChapel.org for more information. And for those living outside the Pittsburgh area, you can join us through our online campus that streams our services from our website, our app, and our Facebook page. Join us this summer as we declare that following Jesus Christ is just as relevant today as it's ever been, and that Christ alone is the only way to have a relationship with the living God. We look forward to seeing you at one of our campuses.
Again, that web address is BibleChapel.org. Also, please remember to order your copy of A Biblically Managed Life. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.